Praise the Lord, and we're here. And then I'll put up the study, which is right there. And we are One Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach. And this is our, third week or fourth week?
Third. Second here.
No. This is our third here.
But one was a feast. So.
Right. But I'm saying, how many times were we here so
Three.
Far? Three times?
Three times.
Here. 3 weeks have flew by already.
Two seventh day Sabbaths.
Yeah.
Sabbaths.
And we're still waiting for our congregation building, a new one. But we are One Messiah Congregation, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, Creator of all things, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. We pray, Lord and God, we just thank you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah. Bless this day. Bless everyone here. Let everyone get some benefit out of the study. And teach us something new that we didn't know. Take away anything that's corrupt. I pray you'll bless this Sabbath. Give us shalom. Give us peace. And I pray you'll bind every devil away from us. Caution us from any evil. And I thank God for another Sabbath. And for real brothers and sisters. May God bless you and lead, guide, and direct you in your lives. And give you right decisions and discernment and understanding. And wisdom and understanding and the fear of God. And I thank God for another Sabbath. May God bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is the 17th of October, and I noticed traveling around, all the trees are changing. Beautiful colors, reds and oranges, and it's real pretty. We all know October, unfortunately, means 8, even though it's the 10th month. However, we're in right now the 8th month of God called Bul, the third day. And that word, and that's, it's pronounced B-O-O-L, Bul, even though it's spelled Bol. And that means rain. That's found in 1 Kings 6:38. So it's good to know that. I told that to an Amish man the other day. He kept saying, what verse was that? I said, 1 Kings 6:38, look it up. I said, it's the eighth month called Bul. He goes, really? He said he's seen the new moon himself, but he didn't know it was a new month of God. So I said, check it out. And here's the name. So he went to look it up. No, unfortunately, I never brought this up, but Judaism, believe it or not, all these people in Judaism, they're calling this month Cheshvan or Mar Cheshvan, which is found nowhere in Scripture. I don't know why they just don't call it Bul, because that would be too simple and too easy, I guess. Anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry. Obviously, you guys should know that by now, if maybe things you're not familiar with. You guys are very familiar with some of the topics now. Most people that don't come here, these might sound a little alien to their ears, you know, because they sound a little strange. Once my server gets back online, this will all be updated. I'm updating my external server here, my external hard drive. But you'll be able to read them again. You'll be able to watch them, listen to them. You'll be able to download them to your MP3 players. I'm always wanting to get invitations to personally come, but haven't received too many this year so far. I don't know. I think we might have did it in Tennessee already. Anyway, I brought this up yesterday on the Drudge Report. There's scientists claim they could zap your brains now with magnets, and they can treat your belief in God. So maybe we could extract that from your brain. Isn't that nice? Make you believe in this God that you can't prove, which they say. Isn't that terrible? Well, we've had an exciting week meeting different people, witnessing to Catholics, and we've been accused of being of things that we did in the past. It's so amazing. You know, I want to make sure everybody does understand something you did 30 or 40 years ago. Don't let anyone try to accuse you of being the same person today, because that's totally ridiculous. I mean, if you are, there's something wrong with you. But I mean, if you corrected the error of your ways, and you, I mean, 30 or 40 years later, you should be a totally different person.
Hopefully.
I hope. Hopefully. Especially if you're, what today's subject is, a new creature, born again. Right?
Yes. That's what the Lord says.
And this all starts in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's the ruler, one of the rulers of the Jews. He came to Yeshua by night. I guess he didn't want to come in the day because he might be seen, you know. And he said, Rabbi, he called Yeshua the Master. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He knew that. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto you, Nick, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And that's really born from above, you know, born in the Spirit. You know, the wind blows where it listed, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it comes. And I do that a lot on our land. I always feel the wind coming, but I hear it, but I don't know what in the world. I don't know how it's coming or where it's coming from. And you don't know where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Amen. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Yeshua answered and said unto him, You're a master. You're supposed to be a master of Israel, and you don't even know these things? But anyway, being born again is really important. Being born again is a complete about face of your lifestyle, and people should be telling you that you are different, that you act different, you perform different, you speak different. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of that verse last night and this morning where it says, and in the last day, you know, we shall speak with new tongues. And I was thinking, I took on a new meaning to me, and I'm not saying this is the meaning, but this is the new, this came to my mind. You're going to speak with new tongues, like a new conversation, a new way of verbalizing everything, a new way of speaking. You're going to speak with new tongues, like a new, just being holy instead of being the person you used to be. And that's the meaning that came at me this time. I'm not saying that's the only meaning, but speaking with new, you're going to speak with new tongues. It doesn't speak, this isn't what it said, you know. So anyway, that's just something that came to me. And being born again, people should be telling you, boy, you're different, you act different, you sound different, you're not doing the same things. And if they don't tell you that, then you're probably not born again. Anyway, Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How do you do that? Being born again. This is 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptibility by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, and you got to be able to stand on that word of God and prove the word of God. And I'm constantly listening to science and videos and debates and learning how to answer different matters and different things. And it's really important for you to do. Otherwise, you'll never be able to answer. You'll never have that reason of hope that's in you to answer every person that comes to you. If somebody comes to you and asks you a question that you're not familiar with, you get stumped. Mm-hmm. So I try to listen to all kinds of videos and speakers and, you know, right nowadays with the internet, you can go on YouTube and hear all debates with creationists against evolutionists, and you can learn different dialogues and different things to say when people try to stump you from people that really know what they're talking about, that is. Anyway, Paul writes to the Romans, says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Did you know that not many of us, that so many of us, as were baptized into Yeshua, the Messiah, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into his death, that like as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. That's really important. We're supposed to spiritually, you're thinking spiritually when you get baptized, even though that's physical, you're going under the water. Obviously, under the water, us earthlings can't breathe. Yeah. That's symbolic of dying out to the flesh. And he's supposed to be resurrecting a new creature spiritually in newness of life. That's what it's baptism is, you know, it's symbolic of a watery grave, you know.
I like new.
Like new, don't you? Yeah. Paul tells the Romans in 7, Know ye not, brethren? For I speak to them that know the law, know the Torah, that the Torah had dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which had a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, right? Mm-hmm. Even so, but if the husband be dead, she's loose from that law, you know, of her husband. So then, if while the husband lives, she's married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress, obviously. But if her husband be dead, she's freed from that law, so that she is no more adulteress, though she be married to another man. And this is all about talking about, wherefore, my brethren, you're also dead to the law by the body of Messiah. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
Explain that. They won't know that.
You want me to explain?
Absolutely.
But
that means dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Well, we're dead to the law. In other words, we no longer have Levitical priesthood and sacrifices, and we no longer have Levitical, the whole service there that they had to do, which was a spiritual. We take the spiritual part of it now, and we have Messiah, who we've never seen in particular, but we believe by faith that he was and is to come, and that we accept his blood that was shed as the atonement for us. And that's what this is all about.
So you can't have sacrifice and
no, you can't have sacrifices and you can't have the Messiah at the same time.
And
so anyway, getting back to what I was reading, I thought everybody understood that. Okay. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, which is totally horrible.
That's
yeah, I know. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We do not have to do sacrifices anymore for forgiveness of sins. That all served its purpose, and it was a spiritual understanding of the coming of the Messiah. And everyone should know that here, and anyone who listens. Doesn't mean the law is dead. It means that law, the Levitical priesthood, is ended as far as sacrifices and the Levites and all their service has totally come to an end. Mm-hmm. We don't need that anymore because now we're priests and we have Yeshua as the high priest and we have his blood as the atonement. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, right?
Mm-hmm. But this is
going to
be online.
Okay. Is that clear enough for everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Paul tells the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Amen. Being new is, I guess this message came about because of different things that go on during the week and different things people accuse you of. And, you know, if people can't tell we're a new creature and totally different.
Or they have no idea because they're not around us.
Or maybe they're not around us. You know, some people accuse us of different things, having not even spoken to us or not really known us in person or don't know our lives or don't know what we do. And they just judge us without even having seen us or been around us for any length of time. I mean, if you meet us once, that's not going
to
tell you anything. You have to be around us a while. Or talk to us or speak to us or do activities with us and you'll see who we are and what our real intentions are. You know?
They don't judge according to this.
They don't judge righteously. They judge according to appearance.
Yeah.
They don't judge righteously. You know, I know any one of you, I would never accuse you of something you did 30 or 40 years ago and call you the same thing today.
Yeah.
You know, there's that silly doctrine out there in the AAA. What is it? Once a drunk, always a drunk. That's ridiculous. If you didn't drink in 15, 20 years, 10 years, how could you still be a drunk?
Exactly. You're not.
They got people brainwashed in the wrong thing. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. But anyway, I've heard people say that.
Oh, yeah.
It's unfortunately different churches we went to. In the beginning, they started out as holy or whatever they thought was holy. And then as different activities changed and people died, and then later on they morphed into something very corrupt. More corrupt than you could imagine. That doesn't mean if you went there in the beginning when you were a young kid and what it ended up to be, in the end, That doesn't mean you should be accused of what the person's activities are today. Right. That's totally ridiculous. For Galatians chapter 6:15 says, "For in Yeshua the Messiah, neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature." So basically what that's talking about right there doesn't mean you're supposed to, men are supposed to be circumcised, obviously, but this is talking about if you got circumcised or if you're uncircumcised and you're not a new creature, it avails you nothing. If you didn't repent and you didn't become born again and you didn't accept the Messiah and you don't start keeping his commandments, what's the use of you being circumcised? Like, just there's people in Judaism that are circumcised, but a prophet profits them nothing. This says, and if whether you're a Jew or a Greek, it's still you still have to be born again. So any way you look at it, Jew or Greek, you still have to be born again. And whether you're talking about actual circumcision or uncircumcision, you still have to be born again and accept the Messiah's blood. That's what I'm talking about. Okay?
Amen.
And Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 1, "And you had he quickened, he made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." I know a lot of people don't recognize that because they don't realize you could be dead in your sins. Yeah.
People don't know.
No, they think they're having a ball.
They think they're holy.
They think they're dead in their sins. They don't realize that. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," it's a spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So it's definitely, we're in a spiritual battle, and you got to make sure, always remember that, something you can't see. You know, you got to watch out for your thoughts, your motivations of doing things. You got to watch out for things you say, because you're in the spiritual battle. It says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's a scary verse right there, because it's the prince of the power of the air, and that spirit right now, even today, works in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh. Not today. We can't be accused of that today. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh a long time ago and of the mind, and where by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others. But listen, look at the difference. Today, you're not supposed to be recognized as that. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Messiah. By grace we are saved. Amen. And he had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yeshua the Messiah, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Yeshua the Messiah. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anybody should boast. You can't say, because I gave all my money to the poor, I got forgiveness of sins. Or because I feed all the hungry. No, you still have to accept the Messiah and his blood and his sacrifice that he presents. It says, "Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, by the Jews, that at that time you were without Messiah. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." That's horrible. Paul really explains what a terrible position we were in.
We were
strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without the real God of Israel in the world. You might have had a fake Jesus or a fake God or worshipped who knows what you worshipped. But now in Yeshua the Messiah, you who sometimes were far off, you're not that person anymore. You're made nigh by the blood of Messiah.
Absolutely.
So you could have joined every cult in the world, or joined every false religion, which are all cults, or even the big religions are cults. They're all cults. But you're no longer in that, because you're made nigh by the blood of the real Messiah.
Yes.
You know?
Forgiven for all our past sins, including those.
It says, "He's our shalom, he's our peace, who had made both one, the Jew and Gentile, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And he had abolished in his flesh the enmity," which is the enemy of death, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man and one new woman, making peace. Amen. So in other words, once you join the body, whether you're, who cares who you are, Gentile, Irish, Spanish, you know, the whole bit. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish. Once you join, you're all in this together. We are all in this together. And he might reconcile both unto God, the Jew and the Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That enmity is the thing that separated us, you know. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. He's telling this to the, who's he telling this? To the Ephesians?
Yeah.
Ephesians. The Ephesians were far off.
Yeah.
In time past, when, let's see, where am I? Then he might, okay, it says, and came and preached peace that were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him, but we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So you're totally a new creature, totally different, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua the Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in Yehovah, in whom you all are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. So basically, you should recognize real brothers and sisters when you can see they're keeping the commandments, they're keeping the, of course, we always bring up they're keeping the Sabbath, they're keeping the feasts, they're keeping the God's food laws. They're keeping the calendar of God. They know about everything of God. I mean, you know, just the things we bring up. And you could recognize other people that have none of those attributes. And they say they're Christians, but they're really just Protestants or Catholics.
Yes, they are.
It's a lot of hot air.
Well, it's
I just believe it.
Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 4, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not, don't walk anymore as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. That's 4:17 and 18. Because of the blindness of their heart. That's pretty sad. You know, you have to always make sure you keep your heart pure.
Yes.
The blindness of their heart. You know, it's pretty tricky how they're even teaching certain things in universities now. They're trying to make it sound like you could believe in God and evolution at the same time. Like God needs evolution.
Right.
That's totally ridiculous. It's really crafty, so you have to learn how to understand the difference and learn how to speak on these matters. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Messiah. Of course not. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yeshua, that you put off concerning the former conversation.
Yes.
We're going to definitely, in this matter, we're going to speak with a new tongue. We're going to put off the former conversation, that old person, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right?
Yes.
And that you put on the new person, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, not make-believe or feigned holiness, you know, ungenuine.
True.
There's a lot of people walking around thinking they're holy.
Yeah, most Christians.
And they're not.
And they
just love the Lord. But when you find out what they actually believe, you find out, first of all, they got the wrong Lord, and they don't even know the definition of holy, which is really consecrated, separated to the God of Israel, not just any God.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments, right. Wherefore, putting away lying, you're supposed to put away lying, speak every person truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lied 30 years ago, are you still a liar today?
No.
You better not be.
No.
How many liars are going to heaven?
None.
None. So why would you? You couldn't be that if you're a God, a person of a God of Israel, right?
Absolutely.
It says, be angry, but sin not.
So if you get angry, don't sin.
Don't get angry.
Yeah, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, Make sure you always make amends with your brothers and sisters before that day ends, because you never know if you might expire in the middle of the night. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. We don't do that. That's why we're not going to participate in the upcoming fraudulent holiday, Halloween. That's like flirting with the devil there. Let him that stole steal no more. You're not supposed to steal. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. And then, of course, here it is again, your new tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I tell you what, you know, we do a lot of stuff out there in our property, but once we witnessed to that guy, I felt like that's the thing I love the most. That Catholic guy, Carrie and I witnessed to this guy, and I was like, gosh, what am I, you know, I wish there was access to witness to more people.
People want to listen.
And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can actually grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God will seal you unto the day of redemption, and you don't want to be grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, that's really important. I can't imagine just backbiting or, you know, carrying tales about people and making stories up without really verifying anything. Some people do that today. They just carry tales.
A lot.
And they just fraudulently accuse you of something today, of maybe something you did a long time ago, and you repented and you went on and years went by and you never did certain things again, but they're still accusing you of the same thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm.
But right here it says, supposed to put it away from you. Right. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking. Mm-hmm. Be kind one to another. Like, you know, what I always do when somebody brings something to me, first of all, what I do is I examine the situation. I see to whom I'm speaking, who they are, what their beliefs are. Today, not what they used to believe 30 years ago. They might have believed elephants fly with pink polka dot shirts on, you know, or
the earth is flat.
Or the earth's flat, right. You know, I mean, what I'm trying to say is you when you talk to someone, you should be talking in the present, not something from the past.
What are they today?
Because that's the thing that's relevant. Things from the past are not relevant any longer because we're here today. And what we do in the future is going to also be important. So be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Messiah's sake forgave you.
Yes.
Really important.
Yes.
Paul tells the Colossians, Paul went to all these churches he created in Asia Minor, you know. We read so far the Ephesians and the Philippians, and here's the Colossians, chapter 3. We didn't read Philippians yet. Well, they read a lot of Ephesians, right? Corinthians and the Romans, right?
Galatians.
Yeah, and the Galatians. These are all different churches. Galatia, and he went to Rome over there, which we all know where Rome is. And he's in the Colossians, which is in Colossae, which is in Asia Minor. He says, if you're risen with Messiah, you're supposed to seek those things which are from above, where Messiah sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth.
Oh, absolutely.
For you're dead. I know that's hard to believe. And we're dead to sin and we're buried with Christ. I mean, obviously we're alive physically. I don't want people to misinterpret that. For you're dead and your life is hid with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You know? Here's what you're supposed to do. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to kill.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to really eliminate these things that are going to put you down. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen. For the which things' sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. in the which you also walked some when you lived in them. Yeah, we used to do that.
We used to.
But we don't do that any longer.
That's right.
But now, today, you also put off all these things. We are no longer angry.
Yeah.
We have no wrath against anyone. We have no malice. We don't blaspheme. We don't have filthy communication coming out of our mouths. We don't lie anymore one to another. We put off the old person and his deeds, right?
Yeah.
And we put on the new man, the new woman, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us. Amen. We're trying to mimic the Messiah.
Exactly.
He's our model, you know?
Yes.
Whereas there, and when you do that, then there's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But Messiah is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. What are you supposed to put on?
Holiness
and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Sometimes we have long suffering with people that we just like to tell them that we have to rebuke our flesh because you got to have patience, but you got to be long suffering with everyone, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, if anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Messiah forgave you, you also do the same thing in plain English. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And charity is, I guess, you know, is just like Messiah. Everything that every attribute that he has, put on the attributes of Messiah and you'll be walking in charity. That's the only best way I could say it. Let the peace of God, the shalom of God, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I'm thankful for anything and everything. And this is important. We try to always do this, even as we're traveling from here to there. We're playing Bible, you know, Bible verses and stuff. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. Don't just read one verse. Oh, I read that. And I don't think like that. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Jehovah. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Isn't that nice? Whatever you do, just thank God that you're able to do it and God will bless you and you make whatever you're doing prosperous. Praise the Lord. Peter tells us in his second letter, verse 1, says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, these are all the things you're supposed to get rid of. You notice my message is about all the things you're supposed to get rid of, all the old attributes. That's what today's message is about. All getting rid of all the old attributes and taking on all the attributes of the Messiah. Laying aside all malice and all guile, which is deceit, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Where's that?
This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. And this evil speaking, this happens to us even on a weekly basis. People evil speak about us, they don't even know us. They don't even know who we are. They don't know our personalities. They don't know our. They don't even. They just don't know us in plain English.
And never have.
Really?
Is there something that's doing this?
Okay. We hear something sizzling over there. So anyway, my study today. You know, I hope you're understanding what it's all about. It's discerning two different sets of attributes. The old person and the new person, right? They're supposed to be totally different. You're not supposed to be the same person. You're not supposed to speak the same way. You're not supposed to act the same way. You're not supposed to dress the same way. You're not supposed to perform the same way. You're not supposed to think the same way. Which is keeping the commandments, which would be totally different than the old way,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keeping the Sabbath would be totally different.
Eating is different.
Your eating is different.
Yes.
Your thoughts should be different. Your mind should be different. You know, everything about you should be different.
I think differently.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, we have Brother John there that was banished to the Isle of Patmos very terribly for the word of God, but and for the testimony that he held. He said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within it and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? When I read that, I always think of all the angels I usually see, you know, in books or on TV. They're all so weak and so nothing.
Yeah,
this is like a strong angel with a loud voice. You know, who says this? It says, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and neither to look thereon. Couldn't even look. So John wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He couldn't open the book, couldn't read the book, and he couldn't look there, even look at it. And then one of the elders said unto me, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as if it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. That's interesting. This is a little glimpse of what's in heaven. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Could you imagine that? That's the Father with all his power. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders, they couldn't do nothing else except fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of all the saints. So make sure you have a lot of prayers in those vials. And guess what? They sang a new song, saying, it would figure, because if you're new, you're going to be singing a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And you made us unto our God. We're all now kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. And I hope that's New Jerusalem. Revelation 2:17 says, and he that had an ear, if you do have a spiritual ear, this is, I hope you do hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, to them that overcome, I'll give to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows saving the person that receives it. And then we have Revelation 3:12. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of the heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Praise the Lord. Every time I read that, my mind always stops for a moment, and I always think about this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, wherever that may be, to this new earth, wherever that's going to be, and whatever it's going to be. And it's New Jerusalem's going to be on the new earth, but there's still a heaven where God dwells. That's just beyond
so
my imagination. Huh?
It's so vast up there.
Well, I mean, it's in a spiritual realm, and it's in an immortal realm, something that we can't even imagine. This is when we're immortals. I know that might sound imaginary or...
But it's true.
It's going to happen one day. Revelation 14:1 says, he says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb. Isn't it amazing? Yeshua is the Lamb of God. All those sacrifices that they did in Leviticus. But he really is the Lamb that stood upon Mount Zion and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard the voice from heaven. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers hopping. I got to say this with my New York accent. My New York accent, I'm just going to say it. I heard the voice of hoppers hopping with their hops. I'm trying to say it different, but I can't.
It's all right. We got it.
And they sung.
Hoppers hopping with the hops.
And they sung as it were, was a new song. They sung a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. Just think, we're gonna get a chance to see what these four beasts are, whatever that may be. I have no idea what they look like. And then there's the elders, whoever they are, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, which could be physical women or false doctrines, who knows, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, no deceit. That's really important, to have no deceit. You don't want to deceive anybody or try to trick someone or get over on someone. Listen to this. These people are without fault before the throne of God. No fault. Wow. That's the way you have to be, and I hope we all are. No fault, not one little spot. I always try to think of like the week that just transpired, you know, just happened. I always think, let's see, I don't remember doing anything wrong, thank God, or I don't, you know, you shouldn't be able to think of something you did on purpose, right?
You better not.
So that's good. In their mouth was found no guile, praise the Lord. It says they are without fault before the throne of God. Wow. And then I went to Revelation 21. All these chapters, I mean, I could have read every chapter to you, but I mean, just to show you how everything's new, including you better be new. John says in 21, he saw a new heaven and a new earth, and that's not renewed, folks. It's new, okay? For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. That shows you it's not renewed. The first heaven and the first earth are gone. And there's no more sea. Just think of that. No more oceans. And I, John, saw the holy city. Here it is. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. He seen the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the voice, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And that's why just recently we celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles.
Oh, sure did.
And we've been very busy. And a little booth is still put up on our yard there. We haven't even got a chance to put it down. But that was the remains of our Feast of Tabernacles out there. But so nice to know why we even do it, because it's spiritually we're thinking about and mortally thinking about it. We're going to be immortals. Tabernacling with the Lord throughout eternity one day. That's what it's all about. So anyway, this was a New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard the great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Praise the Lord. And he's going to dwell with them, which is really amazing to try to think that over. And they shall be his people. Imagine being next to God, who created the whole everything that you can't even imagine. He's going to be right. He's going to dwell with us, and he's going to be our. We're going to be his people, and God himself is going to be with them and be their God. That's just incredibly, amazingly shocking. God's going to come over and wipe away all the tears from your eyes. God's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. God's going to do that. Isn't that amazing? I never really thought of that. God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. Never really thought of that. God's going to do that. There's going to be no more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. These are known as the former things. and they're all going to be passed away.
Yay.
Can't even imagine that. Right? Can you actually? I mean, that's just incredible. You like the idea?
I agree with that.
I like that idea too. No more sadness. Just the thought of no more people lying, and no more, you know, evil speaking, and
no more,
you know, just
no more hassle with that mess.
No more what?
Hassle with that mess.
Yeah, I mean, no more liars, false doctrines, no more false teachings, no more. Anyway, let's see. Neither shall there be any more painful, the former things have passed away. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." So I would ponder to say, you better be new so you can be in this new setting here. And if you're not born again and you're not really a new creature, maybe you better think it over and accept the Messiah and his blood that he shed and start keeping his commandments and fearing God. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write." And I wrote some of this today. "For these words are true and faithful." So be born again, born from above. And this study isn't, again, long. Let's see how long I've spoken so far. Believe it or not, another hour of our lives just went by. It feels like I was only talking for 5 minutes. I mean, seriously. But the message, I hope, is important to you, because while people are accusing you, you should make sure that you are born again and that you're not the old creature. And no one can try to pin anything on you. And make sure that all your attributes are from the Messiah. And everything that you do, say, and think, and act, and perform, and everything you do, whether it's work, whether it's amusement, or whatever you do, make sure it's not sin is not involved. Because people are just out there, you know the way they are, they just can't wait for you to make an error. They just want you to make a sin so they don't have to keep the commandments themselves. And they want to go, "Oh, see, no one can do that. They're not really a new creature." But anyway, having the attributes of the Messiah is very important. And that chapter, I guess it's in Corinthians, about charity. I always like to replace that word Messiah there. Is it 13? Yeah. Well, it's a good chapter to try to replace the word Messiah, because it sounds just like him. You know, he vaunteth not himself. He's not puffed up. You know, charity never fails, so neither does the Messiah. You know, if you read that chapter, it's very good. But anyway, I hope you got something out of this message today. And I read all the things you're not supposed to do. You know, speak evil, you know, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, filthy thoughts, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, which is weird, but it is. And I hope that you do take on these attributes of the Messiah. And I know we all do here. I'm pretty convinced of that. And we have to make sure we're long-suffering with each and every one of us, between each and every one of us, too. Whether we have to explain things or... And, you know, charity never fails. Charity endures all things, you know, suffers all things, right? Vaunteth not itself, you know. So anyway, we have to be like that. And this message today, I'm happy that, you know, in a sad way, I feel sad for the people that just bring accusations against us for unwarranted reasons and unmerited reasons, and they can't verify really what they're saying, but they just like to use their tongue to, you know, put you in it. Like David would say, they frame evil, you know, with their tongues, and they speak evil against him. So... This is the same activities used to happen to David and all the prophets and all the apostles and Jesus. Yeshua himself. So I guess we're in the same company, you know. It's going to happen to you too, so don't think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that might try you. Don't think it's some strange thing that's happened unto you. I guess what we have to rejoice that we're partakers of Messiah's sufferings. And, you know, at first, you know, your flesh might get a little upset when someone brings a false accusation against you. But then you have to take a few steps back, and you think it over, and you think, the poor people are lost. And they never even gave the situation time to even, you didn't even explore the truth of the matter. You just came to a conclusion without any type of evidence or proof of anything. And you're stuck. Some people end up causing themselves to be all alone because they have no trust and they don't want to know certain people. But anyway, I hope you got something out of this message. May God bless you for the rest of the Sabbath. And may God be with you. I see there's a few people online. You know, I noticed in the summertime, it seems like less people get on Pal Talk.
Especially on nice days.
Especially on nice days. I always wonder where are they or what are they doing. But may God bless you for being here today and taking time out to join us. And may God bless you and be with you and answer your prayers, because we do keep His commandments. And I thank God for another holy Sabbath day. May God bless the food and the singing, whatever we do. And may God be with you in your lives, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. And anyone have any questions, you can come to the mic. Or if there's anything you want to say, come on up. And I'd like to hear what you have to say, and go right ahead. Let's put the sound on.
Sound,
I think it's on.
Yeah.
Well.
Your sound's off, though.
Nice. Well, seems like I can't get people to. No one's.
James couldn't come up. He tried.
Well, try again.
He's having trouble.
Well, I know.
Put your hand up.
I know people are trying to come up, but they somehow can't. Try it again.
James can't talk. They all got apples, you know.
I'll email you the website or something so you can read it again nice and slow. And may God bless you and be with you. I'm sorry that you people that don't have PCs can't really come up so easy. But try again. Go right ahead. For some reason, they just can't come up for some reason. I don't know why. Well, I'm sorry that you guys can't speak, but who knows why. But anyway, God bless you. If anybody wants to call me later, I guess the phone still works. I hope. Anyway, God bless you, and may God be with you. I'm going to stop the video. Bye. Shabbat shalom. And I'm going to stop the...